One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you in the San Diego area. If you'd like to visit our website at agradio.org, we have put together all these podcasts there for download, and you can subscribe through iTunes or Google Play, and they're there for your convenience. We also, again, today have the privilege of having Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee with us, and as you know, on Fridays, we have been taking up issues of worship, theology, Christian practice, doctrine, life, all these things that are very germane and relevant today for the church to consider. And Mike and I today are going to take up the subject of music in worship. And we do that with a little bit of fear and intrepidation, realizing that this is a big subject for many listeners out there. And we want to today look at this biblically, look at the design God has given and what music really is. And so maybe today we'll begin with this, Mike. We've really emphasized on Abounding Grace on these last weeks in worship, that what is primarily happening when we come before the Lord in worship is that He is condescending to give us and feed us and wash us with His Word. Now, that is a backwards approach, of course, for most people today who assume that when we come to worship, we are offering up to God. We are making our commitments to God. We are doing something for God. And this has led to a whole challenge today for people who really have lost sight of the biblical need for worship and what is happening in worship. And we're going to talk a little bit today about how that translates to the issue of music. But maybe, Mike, you want to comment a little bit on that today.
Well, I think you're right, Chris, that there's sometimes a backward understanding or approach to worship. We have to remember that there is a sense in which we offer something to God. We offer spiritual praises and sacrifices, as Hebrews says. We offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. But it's important for us to remember that when we do that, it's always in response to God speaking. In corporate worship, when we go to church on Sunday, God is the initiator. God speaks, and we respond. He speaks to us in His Word, through the preaching, and through all aspects of the worship service that are His Word to us, as we were talking about before, the reading of the law, even the benediction, and so forth. And He speaks to us also in the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, which are His visible Word. And then we respond to Him in prayers. And so we think, for example, in Acts 2:42, there in the very first New Covenant Christian church, as they are baptized and brought into the church, Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread, which are the sacraments, and the prayers. The prayers would include song. So singing is our response to God. But when we think of music, we should make a careful distinction between our singing, and which are essentially prayers, word responding to God, and the music, the instrumentation, or the tunes that we use to go with that.
So, Mike, years ago, I'm going to be a little personal here for a minute. Years ago, when I was in college, I didn't think a lot about these things. And I was searching for a church. And the first thing that I did is I walked into a church one day. And I remember being grabbed by the first thing that we did was there was the praise band up front. And we had 20 minutes of essentially was rock and roll. 20 minutes where the design was to really grab me and rev me up and bring me into a kind of worshipful state. Now, as a young guy, I was really attracted to that. I didn't really think too much through these things. But as I've come to grow in my understanding of what music is, I begin to see that that was a faulty idea of what worship really is. And I had not given any real thought to this. You just made a really important statement, Mike, that, you know, the difference between when we come to worship, what God is doing for us, and what we are, how we are responding in gratitude. When I walk into a worship service today, like I did years ago, and the first thing that is done is a leader coming up and saying, "Hey guys, are you guys ready to go for worship?" And then we have the 20 minutes of really emotional grabbing of people's hearts. What is wrong with that, Mike? We've got listeners out there who are really thinking through this. What is wrong with that approach? For instance, is there something backwards in terms of, have I viewed worship as me sending up grace to God? How should worship begin? What should worship be? What is faulty with that whole beginning premise for people when they come to worship and that's the first thing they're introduced to?
Well, I think sometimes, at least in our modern evangelical churches, what often happens is there's this idea fostered that a church has really good worship. Sometimes you'll hear Christians say that, you know, well, this church over here has great worship. What they mean is they like the music in that church. It's well done. The musicians are competent. The singing is good. That's up front. Maybe the tunes are very contemporary, modern, and there's an experience that they enjoy. I think it's important for us, Chris, to point out that there's nothing wrong with us having an experience in worship. When we come into the worship service, sometimes we're moved by singing to God and moved even by the words of the psalms or the hymns that we're bringing to the Lord. And sometimes they coalesce beautifully with the tune that we're all singing together. I know for myself, sometimes when I hear the congregation singing to the Lord and we're singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, or we're singing Psalm 23, it can be very moving. But I think what's faulty is the idea of thinking that, well, worship is the part where we come in, we sing, we get really worked up, revved up, sort of hot and sweaty, if you will, to get ready for the message and the word. That's a misnomer, because we have to understand that the whole service is worship. Part of our worship is listening to God's word. Part of our worship is receiving the Lord's Supper. Part of our worship is hearing the benediction announced, as well as singing to the Lord. So we don't want to make a kind of false dichotomy between singing and calling that worship, and then everything else in the service.
Right. That's very helpful. And I had a man who had attended the church I was preaching at up north. And he said the first hurdle for him when he came in was the music. And we're going to talk a little bit here in a minute about what music should be and the design God has given us in his songbook that he inspired for us. But he came in and says, this was my first hurdle. He says, I just wasn't having the emotional experience that I was used to having sort of manipulated upon me by the worship leaders in my previous church experience. And he says, but after time, I sat there and I started listening to the word. And I realized that the word was the primary means of grace that God had put in place for me to be strengthened in my faith. And that my singing, he said, was a response to that. So all of a sudden, singing then took a secondary place for me. It wasn't the primary thing I came looking for. I realized that music and singing had its proper place in response to the grace that I had received from the Lord in the word and sacrament. And that's been something we've wanted to emphasize here on Abounding Grace, the importance of returning to the primary means of grace that God has given to us to strengthen our faith, to help us. And that music is a way, in response to that, our singing. Our singing is a response to the grace that we have received. When that's backwards, we really have lost a sense. We really have lost a sense of who is the primary actor in the worship service, right? And that's a really important point for us to hash out a little bit today.
Yeah, I think you're right. And not only do we lose a sense of who's the primary actor, but the truth is that in many of those cases, the experience becomes the thing that is worshiped. The experience in itself, going to a church and being caught up in this music and the production, it really becomes a form of entertainment. But what often happens is the person leaves thinking they've had an experience with God. They've met with God because they were emotionally moved. Well, the truth is, I mean, music well done can move us emotionally in all sorts of contexts. I mean, think of the time and effort that's put in to make a good movie score, right? You have someone like Howard Shore or Hans Zimmerman, you know, write the scores for movies like Gladiator or Braveheart or Lord of the Rings. They're very well done to move the person emotionally. And sometimes that can happen when we leave a movie. We can be on sort of a high. But we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing with worship. When we come to a worship service, we need to be thinking primarily, as you said, about God acting, God giving us His word, and then us responding. And the truth is, we should be responding to Him with His words as well, singing the Psalms or singing hymns that are taken directly from Scripture, so that we have this dialogue between God and His people.
You know, and maybe this leads a little bit, Mike, into the discussion of content, which is very important today, where oftentimes you just talked about the experience, and I'm so glad you pointed out that experience is not a bad thing. We want to have a positive experience. We are creatures of experience. This is something that is healthy, but it has to be an experience that is in conjunction with and honoring to the word of the Lord. And I guess when I think about today what's happened, a lot of the music that people are introduced to is mindless repetition. And, you know, Jesus talked about this. If we believe that music is a form of prayer, which I'm sure we're going to comment on a little bit more, Jesus warned about using the vain repetitions that the heathen do, thinking they'll be heard by God for just saying things over and over and over. And in this way, music kind of becomes like a little bit like a drug, where, you know, the experience that we're looking for each time needs to be a little bit higher and a little bit higher. And so what worship becomes is it a professionally planned event and a niche event for people. And when it becomes this, you know, the up and down of this whole thing can be quite discouraging for the worshiper. But the next time you're looking for something more. And so what essentially you have is a whole approach today is who is doing it best? Mm-hmm. Who is the new label on the block who has made the best professionally planned event that's going to bring me into this state? And then we've lost really, I mean, we have a whole host of issues here, but then we've lost really the sense of the content that needs to be spoken as we're responding to the grace received. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to sing back heresy to the Lord? Wouldn't it be an awful thing to stand there and sing back air when we believe that this is a response to the grace that we've received? I just think it's tragic today that Christianity, we can't be thinking people anymore. Mm-hmm. So anyways, maybe you can comment. This is a whole host of issues, but Mike, comment on a little bit of this.
Well, there's a couple things that you mentioned in there, Chris, that are really important and sadly that we see happening today. You mentioned the notching up or ratcheting up the worship experience, depending on how much we received the last time or looking for who's doing it best. I remember hearing from a dear brother one time who was commenting about how great the worship is at his church, and he was trying to kind of evangelize a friend of ours who is a non-believer and saying, hey, you know, you really need to come to my church. You need to hear this guitarist. He was a former guitarist from a band in the 60s, very well accomplished, and basically saying how great the music is. You know, I find that kind of insulting to our non-believer friends, because they know where to go for a good concert. You know, if you want to go listen to good music, well done. You don't have to go to church for that. There's plenty of places out there to go listen to music, or you can buy a CD. That's not the point. We're not offering the world a awesome musical experience. What we're offering the world is good news. News about what Christ has done in his life, death, and resurrection. Yes, singing is part of that worship experience in the sense that we respond to God, but in no way is it the main event. The main event is God speaking to us in his good news. There was another point you made in there, though, about singing vain repetitions, and you know that brings up the thought that what we sing has so much to do with what we learn. And the thing is that if we're singing bad choruses or poorly written hymns, and I'm not talking, Chris, mainly about the tunes. You know, some tunes can be clunky. The fact is that even some of the tunes that we sing in our Reformed churches, a little dated, a little clunky, sometimes sound like a merry-go-round. But the thing is that if we're singing the words that are bad, the words that are theologically inaccurate, or they're misrepresenting Scripture, those things become a tool for learning in the minds of God's people, and that becomes very dangerous. I'll give you an example. One time I did a chapel service at a Christian college, and I went there to speak on Romans 5 and justification by faith alone, and I had to sit through this band up front. Lights were dimmed. They were very they were like a rock band. They were very extravagant in their methods, and very loud, and they had the words up on the screen, and they were singing a song over this chorus over and over again, and it was a prayer to the Lord, "Be my consuming fire." They were asking God to be their consuming fire. Totally ripped out of context. As you know, that comes from Hebrews 12, where it says that we are to worship God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire, which is a warning to us. We're to remember that God is holy. And these folks, no doubt sincere in their heart, were asking God to be their consuming fire, probably in the sense that they wanted to be, you know, on fire for God. They wanted to be zealous for God, be Lord our all in all, be our number one in our life. But what they were misrepresenting was Scripture, and they were actually asking, unbeknownst to them, for God's judgment. Be my consuming fire. In other words, send me to hell, Lord. And I got up, and the first thing I had to say was, well, I'm going to speak on justification by faith alone, that great doctrine, and basically it's a rescue from God being our consuming fire. And I had to explain to the whole body there, the student body, you don't want God to be your consuming fire. In fact, the reason why Jesus came was so that God won't be our consuming fire. But these ideas had gotten into their minds because of this vain repetition and the chorus that everybody was going along with, because after all, the music was so well done, the band was so good looking, everything was such a great experience that everyone was just singing and going along with it.
Well, you know, Mike, this is that was really helpful. This is such a big subject that I'm sure many of our listeners, you know, this is something we understand you struggle with. This is something we understand is a big challenge for people today. I had a family come into my church up north, and the first thing they said was, you know, we came here, we struggled with the music, but we decided to stay because of the word. And I thought that was a really helpful, mature comment about music. And that was set in contrast to what they had experienced. You know, they described in their former church where, you know, the band was constantly putting on the professionally planned event, and it never seemed for them to communicate reality. And I think that that's a helpful thing to think about. It never seemed to communicate reality. If we say, as Mike just pointed out, that the primary purpose of Christian ministry is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, the imputation of his righteousness by faith alone, if, as Calvin said, that is the chief purpose of Christian ministry, the aim of it, the forgiveness of sins, then to make the assumption that all we need is just for the moment to be kind of caught up in an emotionally uplifting experience really avoids the key need that we have in coming before the Lord. And so what then music often becomes is a denial of reality, a denial of our greatest need. And you know, the Psalms, Mike, give us a good understanding of what we need. What you'll notice in the very songbook that God inspired for us, and you would think that people would say, if God gave us an inspired songbook that God's people sang years ago, you know, we need to listen and look at that very carefully, because God is showing us here what our music should be and what he wants for us in our music. Can you imagine, Mike, just to set an example for everything we've been saying? The assumption being today that when we come before the Lord, we need to be first and foremost spiritually uplifted. I want to be uplifted. I know what I need to be uplifted. It's the gospel. But we talked about vain repetitions. Can you imagine singing this song as we came into worship today? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You know, what is the first thing we read in that psalm? This is a cry of lament. What is the psalmist experiencing here? He's experiencing the sense of being forsaken. Now, I don't know his in context experience. We know this psalm ultimately points us to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we are learning from God's songbook the very real experiences of God's people. And you know what? It's not always a praise song. There are people hurting out there. There are people right now listening who are going through awful things because of sin. Their marriages are destroyed. Maybe they've been abandoned by a husband. Maybe they have a teen who has completely, you know, rebelled. I don't know. You have death. You have sickness. You have a million things going on in a sin-cursed world. And you see how imbalanced we become? We are not willing to stop and say, wait a minute. Is our music reflective in our response of what God's word has spoken in our primary need, the forgiveness of sins and Christ's righteousness? Is our music reflecting reality? Is our music reflecting the truth as it is in Jesus? And I think this is a really big subject today. I think it's something we have to talk a whole lot more about.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Chris. That's so important. I mean, as you hit the nail on the head, when you think of God's songbook, these 150 Psalms, you know, there's different genres of the Psalms, aren't there? Just as there's different genres of music. You know, we think of blues, jazz, rock, classical, etc. The same thing with the Psalms. There's lament Psalms, there's praise Psalms, there's Psalms expressing great joy in the Lord and in his promise. There's Psalms expressing great despair. There's Psalms of confession, of penitence. And what we find is that we need all of those kinds of Psalms. We need a full range to match the full range of human emotions. And it's wonderful that we see how gracious the Lord is, that he would authorize these books, he would give these Psalms to us to express our emotions back to him. And I guess I would challenge our listeners and ask them, you know, are you in a church where you are hearing a variety of song, or you're actually singing a variety of songs, these different genres, as God has given them in the Psalter? Are the songs that you sing only the note of praise? Only the happy note? Or are you also hitting the blue note, you know, the sad note, which incidentally is what most of the Psalms are, because we need to express all of those things as we go through our pilgrimage in this life.
That's really helpful. a variety, a range of emotions in response to the living and powerful word of God. As that word is spoken, music is our way of praising and thanking the Lord, singing to him, thanking him for what he has done for us by sending his son to die for us on the cross. This has been a helpful discussion today in music. Obviously, a lot more could be said. Maybe you're thinking through some of these things. This is not a complete discussion. We realize there's a lot more that goes into this. We just want to whet your appetite to think a little bit more about what God's design for singing should be, what God's design for music should be, so that we don't end up doing things that offend him. And we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We'll come back next time with Pastor Mike Brown and myself to discuss the doctrines of the Christian faith. And until then, may this powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California. If you like what you hear on Abounding Grace and you want to worship in a church where the person and work of Jesus Christ is central to the message, I invite you to visit one of our worship services every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information about Christ United Reformed Church, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.